Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Texans bring pressure. Williams, lofty, back shoulder for Moore, incomplete. Bring up fourth down, it'll bring on the field goal unit.
And I know what DJ Moore is thinking. He goes, look, man, I squeezed that corner to the middle of the field. I left you 5 yards on the boundary out there. There was a lot of room for that back shoulder, just not enough time on task yet between those two. That was an opportunity.
We're back with more Chuck Swirsky on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, that's Mike Tirico, Chris Collinsworth. And again, on that particular play, DJ Moore, who's a huge fan of Caleb Williams, no doubt about that. The two were on the same page, but he was visibly upset. And his body language really told that story of that particular play. You're listening to 670 The Score, 50,000 watts of Bears, and more Bears throughout the day right here on 670 The Score. There's Chuck Swirsky on the air until 5 o'clock. Then we got Mully and Haw, and we got Dustin with all the scores of the games. Very quickly, before we go back to the phone lines and also the Twitter, and we get in a lot of tweets and a lot of text at 312-644-6767. Say, boy, it's great to have local programming at midnight to 5 a.m. I agree with you. Let's see. Cowboys, they got pummeled by the Saints, 44-19. Kamara had, how many touchdowns did he have? Like four? Is that right? Let's see. Buccaneers 20-16 over the Lions. 16-10 Packers over the Colts. Jets, as Aaron Rodgers in the win column beat the Titans 24-17. Levis, by the way, made another bonehead play. I mean, I don't get it. You see his coach, the new head coach of the Titans on the sideline? He goes, what the blankety blank are you doing?
Yeah, do you know that Will Levis puts mayonnaise in his coffee, Chuck?
Yeah, don't get me. Yeah, I know that. We talked about his mayo. I mean, he loves mayo. His passion is all about mayo. He really needs therapy.
Okay? He does. Yeah.
Because anyone, I mean, I told you, like, Bill Winnington puts mayo on his hot dog. And I love Bill,
but that's a wild move.
That is a wild, wild move. Vikings 23-17 over the 49ers. Vikings now 2-0. The Seahawks go to 2-0, 23-20 over the Patriots. Commanders 21-18 over the Giants. Giants are a bad football team. How about this? The reporter, you talk about big time onions. So the reporter goes to the head coach of the Giants and they say, are you afraid of your job? What about job security? And the guy just, the head coach of the Giants, just did a stare down on this guy. Chargers go to 26-3 of the Panthers. Chargers now 2-0. Panthers 0-2. Bryce Young, How is this guy the number one overall pick? I mean, the Bears fleeced Carolina. I mean, Bryce Young, who's the backup quarterback in Carolina? Is that Andy Dalton?
It is Andy Dalton, yes, former Bears quarterback.
Wow. I mean, would you want Andy Dalton or you want Bryce Young? I mean, Bryce Young right now is in a funk. And he's been, I mean, last year, okay, I'll give him a mulligan rookie year, trying to learn his way. You know, the coach is on his way out the whole bit. But this year, he has not looked good at all.
Do you understand the Bears got everything they got from the Panthers because they wanted Bryce Young?
Yes.
That's remarkable.
That's the worst trade in the history of the National Football League, rivaling probably even better than the Herschel Walker trade with Dallas and Minnesota. Wow. All right, Browns 18-13 over the Jaguars. The Jacksonville Ball Club 0-2. Raiders 26-23. The Ravens 0-2. That game was in Baltimore. How did Baltimore lose this game? Really, how did Baltimore lose this game? That's crazy. Cardinals 41-10 over the Rams. Rams are winless in two games. Their whole team is beat up. I mean, really, they got a bye coming up. They got a bye in the third week of the season. Think about that. And they need a bye because like half their team is on the injured list. Steelers 13-6 over the Broncos. Chiefs win it 26-25 at a great game. And again, Texans 19-13 over the Bears. All right, Robbie Triano putting our show together. A little bit later on, you're going to hear from Caleb Williams. I'm glad he can even walk to the podium to speak without crutches. Really, without one of those bags that he can breathe? What do they call it? Just oxygen?
Yeah, like a ventilator.
Yeah.
It is kind of remarkable that Caleb Williams did not get hurt today because that offensive line was non-existent at certain points.
Correct. And we'll also hear from Matt Eberflus, the head coach of the Bears. I wonder, I'd love to have a penny for his thoughts about the offensive coordinator saying, okay, like, what are we doing here?
I have a point about that, though. So Shane Waldron, everyone's giving him flack. I understand it. But if the defensive line is coming at Caleb Williams' face in half a second, I feel like the screenplay has to be the play sometimes just to get the ball out of his hand. So that's where it's
what about the personnel that he's using?
That is very, very, I agree with that. And I'm not defending Waldron, but it's like at some point, it's like, what are you going to do if you know your quarterback is going to get hit within 2 seconds?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not giving Shane Waldron flowers.
Nobody should. Nobody should.
No. Let's see. Let's go to, you know what? Let's go to Joe. Joe is calling. And Joe, you want to talk about the offensive line?
Yeah, the reason I call is because the offensive line, I wish they would have talked about it. The sports media in Chicago would have talked about it during the draft. And anytime anybody was asked about or brought it up, they just blow it off, you know.
Well, I think you're going to hear plenty of what's going on in the offensive line.
Yeah, because now you're here. Now it's too late. What I want to know is what can the Bears do to fix that offensive line, or do we have to wait till next year?
Well, that's going to be a great, great question that we'll have our Mark Grody ask Matt Eberflus tomorrow, or I should say this afternoon, regarding what can be done with the offensive line. Very good point. Thank you for the call. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Bob in Rogers Park. Bob, you're on 670 The Score. We're talking Bears football.
Yeah, hi, Chuck. I appreciate you taking the call. The reason why I'm calling is I think what the Bears have is there's just a problem with fundamentals. We all know, about the offensive line and some of the other things, but it comes down to fundamentals. No matter who Matt Eberflus has as his quarterback, there's always, some kind of a problem or another. But beyond the quarterback, a lot of the Bears players are constantly getting called for ridiculous penalties that veteran teams and veteran players or people with veteran coaches they wouldn't necessarily have these things happen all the time. You look like Andy Reid or you look at some of these other veteran coaches who've been around for a while and, their team make mistakes, but it's just, it's consistent. It's just, repetitive over and over and over again. And, you know, no matter what 54, 55 guys that Eberflus puts out there, it's always the same thing. And we're hanging on to Bayless Jones, and we've got Everett out there instead of Cole Kmet.
Yep. So well, you remember Jones was inactive today.
Right, right. I understand, but he's been problems in the past.
Yeah, I mean, you got to hang on to the football. Yeah. So let me ask you a question. I mean, you were very patient. I appreciate you hanging on. Let me ask you a question.
Thank you.
How much of this, when you see this game and you dissect it, do you say to yourself, the man's playing in his second game with an offensive line that probably on a scale of 1 to 10 is probably a 5, a 6 maybe?
Right.
And so you've got that going, and they're taking on a really good Houston team. This is not a Colts ball club we're going to see next week, that the Bears should be able to go after Richardson and also be very effective on the offensive side. So, I mean, do you have to do a checks and balances on this?
Well, yeah, you do, because the offensive play calling has got to get fixed. Everything that happens is coming down from Eberflus. It all begins and ends with him. And if you can get the offensive play calling fixed, then you can kind of, and then get the right people onto the offensive line with the roster you have, you can fix a lot of things real fast. But I know we're asking for, the magic wand treatment for a one-week period of time here, and I just don't think it'll do it. First of all, the front office, those people have got to admit that they have problems with Eberflus and some of the coaching staff. I mean, the defense is outstanding. Special teams is outstanding. There's a lot of spots in our championship caliber groups as far as the different teams that you have on the football team. But when it comes down to the offensive line, the play calling, my God. And, if you fix those things, then all of a sudden you see Caleb shining and everyone stops complaining.
Yeah,
I wish they'd get off his back.
Yeah, I agree. I think people are going way over the top on ripping Caleb Williams. I really do. Did he play well today? No. I mean, some of that was on him. A lot of it is on his offensive line and also the play calling. Thank you for the call. Again, the Bears, with a record of 1-1, taking on the 0-2 Colts in Indianapolis on Sunday, noon kickoff. We'll have pre-post-game coverage again from midnight to 5 a.m. right here on 670 The Score. The Colts lost to the Packers today, 16-10. They said it was one of the hottest days ever for a football game at Lambeau Field. It wasn't any frozen tundra. It was blazing hot.
Yeah, that cheese melted. There was some melted cheese in the stands there.
Opa! So, hey, did you hear about this play? So the Packers are trying to, eat the clock, right? And so this quarterback, Malik Willis, who's taking the place of Jordan Love, and so, it was third down, and, they're trying to extend, their offensive schemes here. And he didn't pass the ball on a third down. And the reason he didn't is that the center, Josh Myers, threw up on the ball. And he literally, if you look at the clip, and you can find it if you Google or if you're on Twitter, whatever, they're ready to snap the football, and the center throws up on the football. And really, you're receiving that football. You're saying to yourself, oh, my gosh.
Nasty.
Yeah.
It's like your corn from last night is right on this ball.
Okay, there. Let's move on. Let's go to Josh in the South Side. Josh, welcome to 670 The Score.
Hey, Chuck. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I got two things here. One, offensive line. I think everybody's touched on it a little bit, but it needs to be an open competition, at least at center and right guard. Like, Doug Kramer's been on this roster for, it's been 2 years now. Let's see what he's got. Like, Colton Sheldon's not it. And then at right guard, right, Kieran Amidaje, it's a high draft pick, a third-round pick.
Yes, yes,
right?
Yes.
Poles always says he wants, or Eberflus always says, too, he wants the best five out there. So I don't care about position, where he played in college. I want the best five out there. So let's see what he has, because Davis is just collecting a check at this point.
Yeah. And then last thing I got is Waldron. Man, you got to explain to me why I'm not seeing Roschon Johnson. I'm not seeing Tyler Scott. I'm seeing Travis Homer on third downs. Travis Homer is a special teams player. He hasn't he played with you in Seattle. I don't care about that. There's no reason why we shouldn't be seeing some of these young players out there. Also, Herbert's not getting playing time. I'm not understanding why I'm seeing Everett out there and not Kmet. So I need Waldron to come out and explain his personnel packages. DeAndre Carter has been a very nice player early on this year, returning punts and catching the ball. I shouldn't be seeing him on offense. We got way too many weapons to be seeing DeAndre Carter out there on game day. So that's
you know
all
what?
I got. Thanks, Chuck.
You are a smart man. I like you. I hope you call again sometime.
So, I appreciate it. Great job, man.
Thank you. All right, 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. We got some text. Chuck, what do you think? The Bears, they're going to lose to the Colts? Absolutely not. I'll tell you what, I'm going to make a statement. Robbie Triano, our producer.
I'm marking the sound. Statement from Chuck.
Yes. I want you to save this tape. Are you working next week, midnight to 5?
I don't, but I will mark this down for the person who's there because I want this on record. This is important stuff.
If the Bears lose to the Colts, I am going to buy donuts for the entire radio station.
Oh, go Colts. Go Colts. I
want
some donuts.
Absolutely not. I will never go against a Chicago team. Am I a homer? Yes. Am I Joe Bag of Donuts? Yes. And I love the badge on my, you know, Bulls, whatever you want to call it, because I eat, breathe, and live Chicago sports. I'm telling you right now, mark this down. If the Bears lose to the Colts, I'm buying donuts Monday for the entire 670 The Score station.
That's
because
legally binding.
It's not happening. It is not happening.
Well, as a someone who works in radio and doesn't have a lot of money, I'm now sadly rooting for the Colts because I want some donuts.
Well, listen, and on top of that, I'm going to send donuts to the Colts.
That's a lot of donuts, Chuck. That's a lot of money in donuts. That's a lot of funds.
Yeah. Well, again,
how are you going to put that in your budget?
I'll find a way. You know, I mean, Bernstein makes a ton of money.
Yeah, no. Have him buy some donuts, too.
I agree. Okay. Let's go back to the phone lines. Who do we go to next? Let's go to Mary. Mary, you there?
Yes.
Mary, wait a minute. This is two in the same show?
Two for the price of one.
Okay. Well, then you're going to buy some donuts.
Oh, no. I can't wait for my donut next week because if this continues like it looks, you made me look like I was a Justin Fields fan, and I am not. What I saw this week and last week from Caleb, your boy, looked like a repeat of Justin Fields. And you can see Fields has done a lot of these get close, the field kicker comes on, and he barely gets a touchdown. And you know what? Maybe they played a worse team. You're right. This team tonight, the Bears played, was terrific. Offense, defense. The Bears' defense is superior. Number six.
Really like the defense. Number six was outstanding.
Do not defame me for claiming I love Justin Fields.
We're not going there. Mary.
And then he shows off his fashion sense.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go. What, you gonna rip Caleb Williams because he paints his nails? Mary, relax.
No. I didn't say. You're putting words in my mouth. You're too loud and you're abrasive, okay? You know, you act like you know what I'm thinking. You hung up on me on the last time, and I have to call back to set my name straight. I am not a Justin Fields fan. I think they look at these people.
He's a show-off.
Right. They look at him in the high school or the college thing, and they go, oh, my God, look what he did. He got all the wins he did. I knew it. When I saw Justin Fields carry that team, was it Ohio, to the wins, I said, he just had a roundup offense line that just mowed down the field and got the downs. And the Bears people just loved him. Now, I'm not saying Caleb Williams is exactly like him, but so far – what we've seen this week and last week looks like a duplication going on. And I would not be so proud to be such a fan of his like you are.
Yes, I am. And Mary, I thank you for the call.
He is a good leader. He's a great cheerleader.
Oh, my gosh.
He's a great cheerleader.
He's played two NFL games. Mary, enjoy the day. Okay, smile. He's played two NFL games. Don't throw him under the bus. All right. Let's see.
What did you do to Mary in these people?
I don't know. I was being nice. This was her second appearance. We've been on the air close to 90 minutes. You know, I mean, hey, listen, I love our calls.
No, I love the fire from Mary. So, Mary, shout out to you for all the fire. I love that very much.
Yes.
Thanks for being a good listener.
Yeah, who do we go to next? Who's been waiting on the line? Because I want to get to some calls for their patience and their understanding. I mean, we're booming in the 50,000 watts. We're booming into the Eastern Seaboard right now in the Midwest. So who do we go to?
Let's go to Cliff in L.A.
All right, Cliff in L.A. What's happening, Cliff?
Hey, Chuck, man. I love it, man. The Mary's got to you, man. Both of them. I'm telling you, Chuck. But I love you, brother. Hey, listen, Chuck, what got me tonight about this game, the Bears did keep it close to a far superior team, especially the way the Bears are at on offense and talent. But I got to blame this on Shane Waldron. Here's why. First, on the offensive line, and the guys earlier said it, and I've been saying this to myself this entire year, you need to put Tevin alongside with Darnell Wright. I think that'll help your running game because it's already on tape from last year that the running game improved when they run behind those two because when they play together, they are maulers in the running game. So I think that's a great possibility for them to do. Now, everybody sees it, and I saw it too. Cole Kmet, why are you not using him more and better than he's better than Everett?
Thank you.
Maybe Everett can just, I don't know what Everett can do. But you had a drive to the field goal that brought it within six. That Cole Kmet was very important and used properly in that drive. And I think also he can make a great blanket for Caleb. Some of the interceptions, Caleb just overthrew it because they were playing great coverage. You have to do that. I thought he should have let DJ Moore a little bit more when I forgot the guy's name, but when he got the interception on him, just lead him a little bit more. I'd rather be let out and incomplete than he's not able to drop it in the bucket yet because he was getting killed all night, so his timing was off. But going back to the Cole Kmet thing, then you have a drive. The last drive, the first pass to Odunze, 27 yards, great pass, great eyes, great everything. And then you go back to your tight end because that's your blanket. Your receivers are covered, and this guy drops the ball. If that had been Kmet, we're still in the drive. We possibly even score a touchdown or get close. But the drive would have continued on in a positive way. Shane, come on. You're hurting me over here, man. Don't look at tape from last year.
I get you. I'm feeling you. And you're right. This was a poorly coached game by the offensive coordinator tonight, last night, whatever you want to call it. And we didn't see Kmet at all in the first half. Then they threw him a couple of passes early in the third quarter. We didn't see him again for the rest of the third quarter. And then he got a couple of balls thrown his way. He got decked on a very, very clean but very hard tackle. And, Odunze, I mean, it was just amazing because he was a non-factor. I don't know. He probably is at 100%, but still – I mean, I don't know what's going on here at all. I don't. And then the player on Houston where he punched one of the Bears and the officials can't call them out because they didn't make a penalty to begin with when Caleb Williams was trucked out of bounds. I mean, why can't they say, you know what, we have a sideline issue, we're going in the tent and we're looking exactly what happened and throw that guy out of the game? Can you answer me that, Robbie? Why can't the NFL have something when there's a fracas on the sideline that they can say, hey, like, just chill because we're sending the referee to the tent and if punches were thrown, you're out, period. End of story.
We need to make you the czar of the NFL in officiating because, I mean, you're very much right. I don't know why nothing happened there.
What was that again, Robbie?
You were right.
Thank you. Okay.
You're not Joey Bagged Donuts.
No.
You will be buying us donuts.
Yeah. Yes. No, the only way I'm buying donuts is if the Bears lose to the Colts, and the Bears are going to beat the Colts by at least two touchdowns.
Well,
I think the Colts are going to have a bad year, And I'm a Colts fan dating back to their days with Johnny Unitas, Lenny Moore. I mean, you can go right down the list. Gino Marchetti. I mean, I love the Colts when they were in Baltimore. And I love the Peyton Manning Colts era. But this is a bad Colts team. And the Bears are going to take advantage. There are going to be a ton of Bears fans at Lucas Oil. Trust me. It's going to be like the Bears are going to take over Indianapolis.
So I have a question for you. And this is a question for the callers as well. So if you want to call, 312-64-6767. How many wins did you have coming into the year when you predicted the season?
11.
Okay. Now how many wins do you feel? Because I feel
11.
Like you still have the same amount of wins, even though you've seen what you've seen.
But at the start of the year, I didn't take – I'm going to be blunt. I did not take the Bears to beat Houston. No one did.
I don't think anybody –
I don't want to hear this. Well, I took Houston or I took the Bears. No. No one took the Bears to win this game. No one. Look at all these quote-unquote experts, okay, that are eating a bag of donuts and saying, oh, I like the color of the Texans uniforms. I'm taking Houston. No, I'm talking about, like, no one took the Bears to go into Houston and win. Not a lot of teams are going to go into Houston to win. Only the elite teams are going to beat Houston on the road. If you're an average ball club or a team that's not quite there yet, you probably need to play a really good game to win on the road in Houston. And so no one took the Bears to win this game.
No.
I guarantee you the Bears are going to go into the Colts and beat Indianapolis.
I agree with you very much about the Texans. I don't think anyone really picked them. But now you see the red flags everywhere about there. And that doesn't make you change your prediction
for
the end of the
year. No. Now, it's on this coaching staff. It's on Ryan Poles. I don't know what they can do to fix this because I do think they see what we're all seeing, that they've got some issues on the offensive line. But, again, you know, all I can tell you is that it's two games and people need to chill. People need to chill. It's like last week. People are ripping Tom Brady. Oh, I can't believe that he's such a horrible analyst. Oh, he's giving me nothing. Tom Brady, he's like GQ all the way. He's a handsome guy, but he can't call a game. Now, did you see the game today with Dallas and the Saints? He was pretty good. It was like a 180. I mean, like it was one game. I don't care about, well, he had a chance to go into a studio and do a preseason game. It's not the same. The juice isn't the same. The feeling, the vibe isn't the same. Trust me, I've been in that studio doing a mock. It's not the same. So all I'm saying, and Brady was great. And I'm just saying, for Caleb Williams, give the man a chance. Exhale. He's going to be great. He's going to be terrific. And so don't throw this guy under the bus, period. All right, 312-644-6767. Let's go to Andrew in Peoria. Andrew, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, Chuck. I got a couple of things. One of your previous callers said they should have an open tryout or whatever for the offensive line. Well, we just went through preseason, so I don't know what they got out of that. But my main thing for calling was the flag or the red flag that Eberflus threw on the interception. I mean, that was obviously not an interception. You could see the ball hit the ground and bounce around. So I don't know how somebody told him to do that. And then, oh, shit, now I forgot my other thing I was going to say. But, how do they come out of a break and then get a delay of game penalty? So
yeah,
that's my thing.
Yeah, I hear you. I'll tell you what. I mean, there are a lot of things they need to clean up, and they will clean it up. Now, I think they're going to have a great week in practice. They're going to get back to work, understanding they've got some flaws, and they're going to have to work on these flaws. But they aren't going to be playing teams like Houston every week. Now, don't get me wrong. We had a caller earlier saying, Chuck, what about the NFC North? I mean, you got Minnesota. You know, the Vikings, Sam Darnold's kind of like rejuvenated. Again, only two games. Detroit, they got beat today, should probably have won that home game against Tampa. They're going to be tough. And you can go right down the list. Green Bay, you know, good core, young core. They're just hoping to buy time, which they did today. They beat the Colts at home. They should beat the Colts at home. 312-644-6767. One line open. You want to call us? I want to hear from you. You can send me a text. And let's go to Ryan. Ryan, where are you calling from?
Hey, Brad, I'm calling from Byron, Illinois.
Yes, sir. Where is that?
Well, we're out near Rockford, south of Rockford.
Okay, very good. Well, I appreciate you staying up with us at 1:28 in the morning. Go ahead.
Well, you're a good dude to listen to, man. Basically, I'm just calling the O-line. I mean, God, the penalties. I mean, they just, it's like at some point, just stop, guys. You're killing your young quarterback with these mistakes.
Well,
stop it.
Well, I mean, like, it's not like they can go out and make a trade. And no, anyone who has a really good center or offensive lineman isn't going to trade unless you overpay to get that player. And, you know, really good offensive linemen are very, very hard to find. In fact, you know, no. I come from a generation where I covered the Bears for many, many years. Jim Finks was the general manager of the Bears. He put that draft together for the 85 Bears. And he told me all the time, you build your offense with the offensive line, and you collect offensive linemen because they can
you can turn
the offensive line into assets, which is true. And if you look at that 85 ball club, Jimbo Covert, oh, brilliant, great offensive lineman. Oh, he's in the Hall of Fame, right? And so all I'm saying is that they're going to have to shuffle the deck with the offensive linemen they have. Maybe they'll bring in a journeyman, who knows? But all I can tell you is they're going to have to shuffle the deck and find some things out with different combinations if they plan to get this thing together.
Exactly. If you want to do some work, look up Byron, Illinois football. We do the work out here, and that's what our linemen do. And you see it in the games here. I mean, that's what happens in this town.
Yep.
Like, the offensive linemen run the town. Our running backs are studs, but the offensive linemen are the dudes that do the work.
Again, Caleb Williams threw the ball 37 times. 37 times. He was pressured 36 of the 37 attempts. He went 23 of 37, 174 yards, 4.7 average. I'm telling you the truth. Whether it's Tom Brady, Joe Montana, you can go right down the list. I mean, you could have Sid Luckman return. Bottom line is, if you are rushed and you got somebody, one player, two players, three players, rushing you out of the comfort zone in your pocket, you are in big trouble. And so they've got to get protection for Caleb Williams. I love Caleb Williams. I think he's going to be great. So people need to give this young man a chance. And that's why they're going to beat the Colts, period. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Now, did he have a great game? No, he did not. You know, he made some bad throws, the interceptions, and then the pass in the fourth quarter with the game on the line, with the Bears trying to put together a rally, and he just did not connect with DJ Moore, and DJ Moore obviously visibly upset with that. 312-644-6767. Let's return to the phone lines right here on 670 The Score.
Celebrating. Bears trying to get back to the line. Clock running. 50 seconds remaining.
We're back with more Chuck Swirsky on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And we sincerely appreciate you having the dial set. 670 The Score. We're with you until 5 o'clock. Then Dustin has all the scores of the games. We got Cubs baseball tonight. They're taking on Oakland. The Athletics lost two straight to the White Sox. And with the win, with the Braves losing, the Mets losing, Cubs are five out for that final wild card spot with 13 games to go. Can they do it? What Robbie Triano put in our show together, wouldn't you say the percentage of making the wild card is?
It's about less than 1%. I can look up the exact number, but it's if they make it, it is one of the best sports stories of the year.
Yeah. So they got Oakland in town for what, three games?
Correct.
And then they got what, Washington?
Yep.
And then Cincinnati?
Yep. That's how they end the year.
And then they got Philadelphia, right?
Correct. So, it's an easy and rough stretch of games.
Yeah. Well, whatever. I mean, you can't lose a series to Colorado, really. You can't. And you can't lose that series before they left for L.A. Would they drop a couple of ball games to Pittsburgh? Unbelievable. Don't get me started. We're talking Bears. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Here's another text. Chuck, the Bears have some picks. Put together a package. Trade your number one pick for a really good offensive lineman. Here's how this worked, folks. Let's pretend I'm Ryan Poles and I'm calling. I really want a legit blue chip first all pro team guard or center or a tackle. And I pick up the phone and Robbie, you're the GM, a hypothetical GM of the NFL. Hey, Robbie, this is Ryan Poles of the Chicago Bears.
Hey, Ryan. Hey, how are you?
Good. Yeah, well, listen, you know, we have a nice team, and I'm thinking about, you know, we're navigating our way through 24, and, we've got some issues, and, you know, I see you've got a player that's coming up as a free agent, and I'm just wondering, what would it take to get that center or that guard from your ball club?
Oh, so I look at your offensive line, and it's pretty terrible. So I'm guessing I'm going to get a lot out of you. So I'm going to get a first, maybe a second. I don't know. Something else, because it's something you clearly want.
Okay. So I'm not sure I want to give you a first. Will you take a third, a second this year, a third? So this is the issue that they're going to run into. Because every team, you think the Bears are the only team right now after two games when they start to evaluate personnel? You don't think the GMs are sitting with their head coach and their coordinators and saying, and this is around the league, and they're saying, boy, we got issues at cornerback, or hey, we have issues on the offensive line, or wow, we really need a backup quarterback like the Giants with Daniel Jones. You don't think they're looking around saying, ooh, boy, we got Tannehill. He's available, but he wants a ton of money. And if Tannehill comes in, he's going to want to start. And then if he replaces our frontline quarterback, then we got a quarterback controversy the first month into the season. This is how it rolls. And then you got the owner who's walking into these meetings, and they're saying, hey, come on, dude. You just told me that we were going to have a good year, and now you're telling me we're minus this, this, this. All I'm saying is it's hard to make a trade for a legit, really good, especially the Bears were lucky last year with Sweat with the Washington Ball Club.
That's looking like a steal.
It's a steal, period, because he's changed the dynamics and the complexion and the composition of that defensive line. It's helped out the linebackers. It's helped out the DBs because of a pass rush. Well, now Ryan Poles, who I'm a big fan of, I think the guy is a great, solid GM in this league. And I'm saying, okay, I wonder what he's thinking right now. Because he's got the number one overall pick, and he got slaughtered tonight.
Definitely. And I think if you are him, and you're trying, like whoever is saying, oh, trade for an offensive lineman, I think that's the hardest position to trade for. Because once you have a good one, you never want to get rid of him.
Never.
Because it's very hard to find people who are over 300 pounds who are athletic and agile and can block.
Yep.
So once you have that, you are not trading that. So that's not something you can just fix overnight.
So with Harbaugh having a say in everything with the Chargers with that pick, who did they take?
They took Joe Alt, who is an absolute beast.
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. Chargers could have gone a lot of different directions because they have a lot of holes to fill, okay? But what did they do? They took an offensive lineman that's going to be there for a decade, just like Joe Thomas was with the Browns. Well, that's what Joe Alt's going to be, right?
No, definitely. And if you even look at the Lions, they got Penei Sewell, and like he is one of the best in the entire league. So
yeah, the kid from Oregon.
Right. And that's where I think a lot of Bears fans are confused because, you know, you took Darnell Wright, you took Tevin Jenkins, but the whole line is still very incomplete.
Yeah, and I like Wright, and I like Jenkins. But they got some. They got a major issue at center. So I'm glad you clarified that. Thank you. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. All right, let's go to Mo in New Jersey. Mo, what's going on?
How are you doing over there, Chuck? Thanks so much for taking my call. So I wanted to say, first of all, let's just mention the fact that Ryan Bates wasn't in there tonight.
Nope.
That would definitely change things up. So that's a first of all.
Well, you know, Bates is on the injured reserve list. He's going to miss the next three games.
Exactly, but I think that would be making a big difference. You're not going to be getting a big trade, a big-time trade midseason. Maybe you're going to get something in free agency eventually, but it's not going to be happening so soon.
No,
so
but you know, they got to get better production out of Shelton. They got to get better production out of Davis. I mean, it wasn't good last night.
No, definitely. Wasn't what we were looking for. I think, but there's a couple things we can do to switch things up. First of all, everyone keeps saying the whole Cole Kmet thing. You got to be giving – Gerald Everett is not your number one tight end. Your number one tight end is Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet over the middle, 7-yard pass, 5-yard pass, watching the whole game. I'm watching. He's open, 5-yard pass, 10-yard pass. Easy, quick passes, get the ball out of Caleb's hands, give him some confidence. Don't make him go for the long ball every time. Don't give me another wide receiver screen, or a quick pitch to Swift. That's not going to be doing it. Get it out of his hands quick, give him some confidence, and then when you want to go for the long ball, you can throw that in every once in a while.
I agree. I mean, this is what we were preaching on Twitter. We started the show, more Cole Kmet, period. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why. I mean, I'm sure Waldron has a relationship with Everett and all that stuff from Seattle. I don't care about any of that. I'm glad he has a relationship with him. I'm glad he trusts him. Well, guess what? Cole Kmet is the man. Cole Kmet is a top-tier tight end in the National Football League. I will go to war with Cole Kmet any day of the week as far as football, period. So thank you. Let's go to Joe in Chicago on 670 The Score. Joe, welcome. It's 1:45.
All right, thanks a lot. Hey, listen, first, you know, I had a couple of points I want to make, and I'm not trying to excoriate anybody. I'm simply trying to make some objective statements here. And the thing is, when it comes down to all the silly fouls, and they were silly, many of them were silly, I think that we have to give credit to the head coach, because of the fact that everything has to do with discipline, falls on the head coach. And so we need to take a look at that. And this is not the first year that that's occurred, all these silly fouls and whatnot. And at a certain point, we have to start thinking whether or not Eagleflute is the right man. And like I said, I'm not trying to criticize anybody. But here's the thing, though. I think that what many of the callers are concerned with is that let's set aside the interceptions. But let's say the balls that were thrown too short, which is a real bad thing, and then the balls that were thrown too long, and some of the things that Williams wasn't able to do in terms of turning something into nothing. Because if you look at Stroud, I believe that's his name, a young man at Texas, if you look at him, he was now we got pressure on him, but he was able to turn something into nothing on a number of those plays. And I really think that when you draft somebody, one overall, you expect to see at least one or two plays.
I get that, but, sir, let me just remind you, he had a great rookie year. We're talking about Stroud. So he has seen a lot of different defenses, and the ball comes out of his hand fast. And this is something that Chris Collinsworth mentioned during the game, that you got to get the ball out of your hands in less than 2.5 seconds. And Caleb Williams did some of that tonight. He made two bad choices with the interceptions, made some throws that were off targets. I get all that. But the offensive line was not good tonight. It was not good. It was not good for the run game. It was not good protecting Caleb Williams. And that they're going to have to clean that up. How? I don't know, because they've got players out. They've got, obviously, some slippage going on the offensive line, and that's why they've got a week to figure things out. But they should be able to go into Indianapolis and beat the Colts. And I've said it on the record, I'll say it again. If the Colts beat the Bears, donuts for everybody at the Score next Monday. Because the Bears should not lose that football game. The Colts are not that good, period. And I hope they take this tape and they can play it on a sports talk radio station in Indianapolis, if there is such a thing. And I'm buying donuts for this radio station if they lose to the Colts.
I'll send that to them. I'm going to clip that and send that to the people in Indy. And I'm sending it to Mitch Rosen as well.
Okay, you should do that. And we'll bill Mitch Rosen at 670 the Score.
Exactly.
I'm serious. I mean, the Bears should not lose to the Colts. Donuts on the station for me. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Again, we've got plenty to talk about right here on Bears Monday. And we want to remind you that we got Mully and Haw coming up with Dustin at 5 o'clock. And they're going to have everything. You know, DJ Moore, I'm sure DJ Moore, who's joining, what, 8 o'clock, is that right?
Yeah, correct. The star wide receiver.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's frustrated. I'd be frustrated. I am frustrated. And so are the fans. Let's go back to the phone lines. Glennie and Elgin, you're on 670 The Score.
Hey, how you doing? Listen, here's the problem. The problem is the ownership. It's McCaskey's.
Oh, my gosh. Really? You're going to play that card? What are you talking about, the ownership?
When was the last time they won the Super Bowl?
Okay, 1985.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. So they lose to the Texans, and you're blaming the owner.
Let them do what they wanted to do, and commercials here, commercials there. Ditka went nuts, and they should have been a dynasty. The McCaskies don't like it. Now they're not going to let that happen again. Once the McCaskies stop the ownership, you're going to see better performance from the Bears.
So wait a minute. You're telling me that you think the problem is the ownership of this club. I'll tell you, the problem is not the ownership of this team. The problem is the offensive line, the play calling for the Bears. No. You listen to me. I'm doing this show, not you. I'm just saying this with all due respect. With all due respect, DJ Moore was frustrated, and Caleb Williams did not play well, but he had two, three players in his face all night long. The penalties were absurd. You had Caleb Williams was trucked out of bounds, and it should have been a flag. They didn't throw the flag, just like last year. Justin Fields got killed all the time when he would give himself up on a slide. He'd get hit every game. No flags. What's up with that? What's up with that? And so I think the NFL should fine that guy for the Texans who punched a bear, and I would have thrown him out, but they can't throw him out.
You don't think that's going to happen?
Huh?
You don't think that's going to happen? That guy's going to get fined.
That guy is going to get fined, and he should get fined. But they couldn't throw him out because they can't make that call because there wasn't a penalty flag. And I think that's a stupid no rule. If you throw a punch, you're out of here.
There, I agree. But I don't know what the hell it has to do with the McCaskies.
Well, you're right. Thank you. You answered your own question. It has nothing to do with the McCaskies. I love you. Good night. Good morning. Don't play that card about the McCaskies. The McCaskies had nothing to do with this game. The McCaskies have done an unbelievable job revamping the ownership as far as the management, the coaching staff, the facilities at Halas Hall. Second to none. So, don't go there. I mean, Ryan Poles can do whatever he wants regarding the roster and the coaching staff. If they want somebody, they go out and they get them. Diane, you're on 670 The Score. We're talking Bears. Diane, are you with us? Diane, we're giving you 20 more seconds. Are you with us on 670 The Score? And you're gone. Thank you. Justine in Palatine. Justin, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Chuck?
Good, thank you.
Good, good. Before the break, you said that the Packers should have easily beaten the Colts today. I want to know why you thought that with when they were doing it with a backup quarterback.
Well, number one, because I think the Packers have more talent than Indianapolis. And I think I just think the Colts are a 500 team at best. And I think the Bears are going to go on the road and they're going to beat them.
Okay. A lot of people, the Tribune, Vegas, really thought that, you know, the Packers didn't have a shot today.
Really?
That's
I don't have the line. I don't bet. I don't gamble. What was the line going into the game?
Robbie, 2.5.
2.5?
On the road in Green Bay against the backup quarterback. You know, it's the Packers, you know, whatever, but, you know, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
All right, so you're telling me, were the Packers favored to win this game today?
No, they were not favored to win
this
game.
They were not?
With a backup quarterback. No, absolutely not.
Hmm. Okay, well, I'm just saying that not knowing the line, I would have taken the Packers. So what do you think? Robbie Triano, Robbie, can you do me a favor?
Yes, Chuck, anything.
Can you look at the lines for next week's games? Maybe they're not out until the Monday night game is played. But can you Google lines for week three of the National Football League about the Colts and the Bears?
That line is currently not out yet.
Okay. All right. I'll be interested to see who's favored to win that game, because I think the Bears should be favored. Even with all the issues coming out of the Houston game, Houston is really, really good. And I don't know one person who took the Bears to beat Houston. Really, I don't. I mean, I thought the Bears would win because I'm a fan. I'm just Joe Bag of Donuts. But I didn't. But realistically, if you looked at the schedule when it came out months ago and you said win-win, loss-win, one of those things, and you said Bears are going to win 9, 10, 11 games, nobody predicted the Bears to go into Houston to win, and they didn't. And they're going to get back on track, and they're going to beat the Colts in Indiana. All right, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Our text from 224, Chuck, enjoying the show. Can the Bears package 2 first-round picks for an all-pro offensive lineman? You're going to trade 2 number one picks for an offensive lineman? Why would you do that? You can't do that. All right, we'll go back. I love you. I love the fans. You're not going to trade 2 number one. Who are you going to get as an offensive lineman? You think Anthony Munoz is going to come out of retirement? You think Jimbo Covert is going to play for the Bears at 50 years old? Not happening. You're not going to get 2 number one picks. You can't trade 2 number one picks for an offensive lineman. Oh, my gosh. All right. We're going to take a break. Back with you on the phone lines. I love this show. It's near 2 a.m. Central Time, 50,000 watts, 670 The Score. We're talking Bears.